Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman alongside Steve Harmison, looking back at day three at Edgbaston in the fifth test match between India and England, where possibly, despite more Bairstow brilliance, India are moving themselves into an insurmountable position. You're listening to the Following On podcast. So if you're listening to the show, you no doubt know by now that India ended at day three, 125-43, batting out 45 overs of action. Sedate style towards the end of what has been another pulsating day's play. England started it needing runs, needing to right the wrongs from day two. They did it as well, adding 200 for the loss of their last five wickets. The top line, Johnny Bairstow, his third century in succession and fifth in 2022. Alongside Ben Stokes, who hit 25, Sam Billings, 36, and even Matthew Potts with 19. England, they didn't quite right the wrongs, but they gave themselves a chance. India's lead when they came out to bat in second innings, 132 runs, and they lost Shubman Gill early. Caught Zach Crawley for just four. England were on top and bowling well. But India managed to put together a partnership of 39 before Vihari became the second wicket to fall, caught on the drive. And when Kohli went for just 20, 75 for three at that stage, England were just about in the contest. The lead of just over 200, and fresh in their mind, memories of chasing round 270, 280 against New Zealand. Unfortunately, from an English persuasion, at the end of day three, that lead had swelled up to 257. Pujara unbeaten, 50 not out. Rishabh Pant on 30. So England will have to come back on day four and pray that they're batting by lunch. Seven wickets needed, a lead of 257, and plenty to discuss here on Following On.
Story of the day.
Okay, Harmy, well, look, let's start off talking about the positives, because you know what? There were a lot of positives today. England adding 200 runs. You know, their first five wickets went for, what was it, 83. They started the day 84 for five. They added exactly 200, lost just five wickets. Let's start with the good, because Bairstow once again. I mean, it's incredible, isn't it? We all know he scored three back-to-back centuries. We all know he scored a century against West Indies. We all know he scored a century against Australia. But do you know when he scored a century before then? He scored five in 2022. You've got to go back to 2018 since he last scored one. So, you know, that's quite some turnaround.
It is, but you've also got to look, when you're talking like that, you've also got to look at what's happened with Johnny. He's been messed around. So it's a bit like the Moeen Ali situation. Moeen Ali retired from, he's moved away from Test match cricket because I'm not sure he got, you know, a fair crack of the whip and fully treated where he probably should have. You know, it was, we've got a problem area, Moeen or Johnny will fix it. We've got a problem area, Moeen or Johnny will fix it. We've got nobody to bat three. Well, Johnny will bat three. We've got nobody to bat three in the subcontinent, and we need to get a second spinner in the side. So Moeen will do it. And then we get our two spinners in the side that way. Now, so from that aspect, I can understand. I can understand if Johnny felt aggrieved about what had happened. That was part of the reason why I was saying once Joss had gone with the gloves, Johnny should take over from the gloves, gets Pope in the side, potentially gets Brook in the side, and then from 1 to 7, we are ridiculously strong, powerful from 1 to 7. But that hasn't happened. He's gone and batted at number 5, got his 100 in Australia when he had been dropped, gets 100 in the Caribbean when, you know, we were at our sort of really lowest as an England cricket team, and heads rolled after, or just before and just after that. And then Johnny's come in, and I think by all accounts, he's been told, again, he's got to fight for his place. And I think he's come out and showed what a class performer he is. He's a bit underrated when it comes to, or underappreciated, not underrated, underappreciated. I think all the talk of Stokes and Root, Broad, Anderson. But, you know, when Johnny performs, he stands up, and when he needs to perform, he stands up and performs. I think he's been performing brilliantly over the course of the last, 4 test matches, 5 test matches in the Caribbean and here to really cement his place.
Yeah, and he looks completely in control of his shots, doesn't he? In fact, the one shot that the one time he didn't, I mean, actually, it's not quite true, because he played and missed a fair amount. I mean, he was beaten essentially a fair amount at the start of the day, which is fine because the ball was moving around. The conditions were really suiting the bowling. The ball was still new, and they are terrific bowlers, aren't they? And yesterday, you know, 12 from 47, I think he was. So he changed his game yesterday, knew there was much more importance on his wicket. But once he eased it through, eased up and he got comfortable, saw off the initial spells, you know, it was a kind of a glimpse of the Johnny Bairstow that we saw at Headingley and at Trent Bridge against, you know, a phenomenal attack. It was a slight surprise when he got out, you know. And again, you know, with this England team, we're going to do what this England team do. We'll talk about Ben Stokes in a second. But even the decision to go at Mohammed Shami, I just thought, you know, first ball of a new spell, Shami had been unlucky. He seems to be that kind of bowler. And, you know, isn't there an argument that you just have a little look to see what the bowler's doing before you try and smash him over long off? Because that's what Bairstow tried to do. And, of course, on this occasion, Shami got the movement, the edge was taken, and it was a decent catch by Kohli.
Yeah, but I think, again, we just look. Yeah, I think this team, the way the mentality is, it just seems as though they're going to eye on their sword if the sword has fallen in their way. They're going to try and put pressure on the bowler coming into his first over, his first ball, his first spell. You look at Rishabh Pant, big example. Why has it been so good on the course of the last sort of 24, 48 hours? He's gone hard early in overs. You watch him, he's gone hard. He's gone at the very first ball. And when you have got big-time, big-shot players like Stokes and Bairstow, Pant, it's a little bit of a guessing game, but you're trying to put the pressure on the bowler first up, and I think that's what's happened. I think that they went to go hard early on in the over, and then all of a sudden the bowler's under pressure, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I think we've had scores in this game where players have got, you know, decent sized scores. Pant's got a big 100. Bairstow's got 100. But I think we've seen some fantastic bowling in this game. I really have. That hasn't always been rewarded. Mohammed Shami's bowled unbelievably well. You know, Potts went for 100 and about 20 overs in that first innings. And I thought he bowled lovely. I sat right behind the bowler's arm. First spell of Stuart Broad Friday morning. Bowled beautifully. So it didn't get the look. So I think sometimes these batsmen now, especially the powerful ones, the ones that sort of chance their arm a little bit, it's a little bit of a gamble and it's a little bit of a punt. I'm going hard at you in the early part of the over, and then let's see what you're made of. And unfortunately, yeah, sometimes it doesn't work out. It didn't today. It worked for Pant yesterday.
But there is two ways to play a game, though, isn't there? And even the great Australian and West Indies side would, they would assess the situation at times. And India did that really well. You know, loads of time left in the game. And they essentially batted out the last hour, 15 overs. It wasn't completely go slow. They still scored 50 runs, but they saw it out. They knew they just had to see it out. That was, England had a little window when Virat Kohli was out. Lead was just past 200. You know, you still feel that England would have a chance of chasing down a 300 score, despite the fact that the ball is doing a lot more than it has done in any of the other three test matches. And that was a chance. And so instead of just trying to bludgeon their way out of trouble, which is what I am assuming England would do, they just played the percentages. And look at the scoreboard. Rishabh Pant's still there. And so is Pujara. And you'd have to say going into day four, India are, I don't know what the odds are, but I imagine they're probably 80-20 on to win, 85-15 on to win.
I think they're more than that, to be honest. I said at the very start, obviously I was at Edgbaston for the first 2 days of the test match, working on the hospitality with Ian Bell, and I'm not happy to say this, but when we were asked 9 o'clock on Friday morning, I said India would win because...
Cool, you know how to play a crowd, didn't you?
Yeah, but exactly. I was playing, and actually I wasn't actually in the first part of it because there wasn't as many Indian supporters in the gala. The gala events box. It was more of a patriotic home English crowd than it was Indian crowd. It was on a Saturday morning, but the horse had bolted by then. I told the world what was happening. I thought India would win because England had to make the game. I thought England would bowl first, and I thought if England had to chase more than 250, England would lose because of one man, and that would be Ravindra Jadeja. Because when you look at the games that England have won against New Zealand, there's a lot of luck went their way. Bowlers going down from New Zealand's point of view, and a Tom Noddy spinner who was not really in the game. Now, Jadeja changes that altogether. Pujara set anchor this afternoon and didn't what Pujara done. England had a chance. The way I seen it, I thought even if England had batted quite well, I think England would have pulled out 50 runs short of India. I don't think England would have gone on beyond India. I think they would have pulled out 50 runs. I think Ben and Brendan would have pulled out 50 runs short and said, right, I'm going to bowl you out for 200, chase 250, and we're going to have a good crack at trying to win the game that way. But now I think it's totally different. You know, conceding 132 run lead, I think it was. I think there was only one winner in that. I think once the game gets past 250, 260, 270. I think because India have got an absolute gun spinner, and I couldn't believe Ashwin didn't play. But once they've got that, it's a gun spinner. It's a different ball game altogether. This is a different attack. You know, Ian Bell was of the opinion that India were undercooked. Played a game against the John Smith's 11 West, you know, the Leicester at, you know, a mixed team and a team that was like at the pub. These guys are never undercooked. They've just come off the back of an IPL. They are constantly under pressure from the minute they get out of bed of a morning. That's why, for me, I didn't believe that they were underdone. Their bowlers would be hitting their straps. And if they had to have a fourth innings chase, which England had to do because they need to win the game to go 2-2 in the series, then England needed to be chasing 150, 175. Once it was over 250, 225 and more, Jadeja was going to be the trump card for India for me.
Okay, so let's talk about Stokes. Let's talk about his dismissal. Because, you know, England came out there 84 for 5. We've seen all summer that once the ball goes past 30 overs or so, it does get a little bit easier. England had a bit of fortune, but they'd added 65 to their overnight score. And essentially, Stokes had been dropped twice and then he's out, right? There is criticism, though. You know, the reaction of the batter, of Stokes himself, is that, you know, he can't believe it. You know, his luck's out. You know, and are you thinking, or his facial expression seemed to suggest, ah, it's a terrific catch by Bumrah at mid-off. And, you know, if that goes maybe a metre to the left of the fielder, it whistles away for four. I'm unlucky. But essentially, he's just been dropped by exactly the same fielder, exactly the same position, the ball before. And, of course, you only have to go back to Headingley, when he was caught at, well, mid-off again from the bowling of Neil Wagner. One ball after very nearly getting caught. So, and he'd been dropped at cover when he was on 18 as well. So, you know, it's a conversation to have, isn't it? I'm not going to sit and slam Stokes. That's ridiculous. But there is more than one way of playing a game, and Stokes showed that at Headingley in 2019.
Yeah, there is, but I'm not going to defend the lad. I'm not going to sit here and defend somebody who obviously everybody knows I'm close to him. It was a poor execution of a shot. You know, it was there to be hit. He hit it, and he hit it in the air, and he got caught, with a fantastic catch. You know, players are allowed to take fantastic catches, even fast bowlers. You know, I've found myself in many a times in a position where balls come to me and it's stuck, and you think, wow, what a catch that was from somebody who should have been sort of saying, come on, chuck it back, and then letting it go past you. Look, there are things in this game, I think naivety, captaincy, wanting to, I think, express themselves in a certain positive frame of mind. And I think this is going to be, after this test match, I hope Brendan sits down with Ben and they go through the whole four test matches going into South Africa. And this is what I would do. I'd sit him down and talk to him about there's positivity, there's recklessness. There are times where you have to sit in and still be the same positive mentality of captain. I just think all this nonsense, I was going to say something else there, all this nonsense of Baz Ball, I'm sick of hearing that. Baz Ball this, yeah. Baz Ball that. What
shall
a
we stop? Shall we just stop using it now?
Yeah, it's a lot of nonsense. You know what I mean? But there was times I was watching yesterday, over the course of the last 2 days, even, you know, 98 for five, Rishabh Pant starts running down the wicket, England have got five slips. Maybe people might be saying, well, what's this got to do with Ben Stokes' batting and getting dismissal? But this is what Ben's got to learn as a captain. There has been a lot of talk over the course of the last month about his approach, his mentality, and it's right that he's got that. But sometimes you've got to be calculated in the way you think of how being positive and what being positive means. As Rishabh Pant got going in that innings, and I'm watching it and I'm going, you know what? It was like bowling at Senath Jayasuriya. Sareen Bolton had a go at me one day on air saying, what on earth has Harmison got a deep point for? And I'm going, well, to be honest, deep point is more in the game than fourth slip. Because if I bowl a half volley wide of off stump, there's a good chance deep point's going to get a catch. And I was watching, it's a great bit of a comedy gold that Beefy said that the next ball, I bowled a big, wide, ranking long up and Senath smashed it straight down and Jailo's throat at deep point. There were times when Pant's innings was going along, I'm going, Ben, get rid of third slip, get rid of fifth slip, have a third man and a deep point or a deep cover or mid on and mid off back. Because this bloke's still going to go and try and hit you. He's still going to try and hit your bowlers in them way, shape, or form. And if he doesn't do that, then you put him on the back foot, mentality-wise, goes into his shell, and you've got more chance of nicking him off that way. But at the time, it's like, got 100 for five, 120 for five, 140 for five, 150 for five. We've still got five slips in. And I'm going, hold on. You've got to be careful here. And that's naivety of what the mentality that looks like from a side. Wow, look, this is positivity. This is Baz Ball. This is five slips. We are going in the right direction. No, we're not. You've got to be calculated in your decisions. And I think sometimes the calculation and the decisions of being positive to what the outside public want to see to actually being calculated in being positivity, decision-making of making a difference in the game, I think are two different things. And I think that's something that Ben needs to look at along with Brendan and the management team over the course of these last sort of 4 or 5 weeks to make sure we are better when it comes to against South Africa. His decision-making at shot selection three times now, might be in question. And I think some of the field positions, as much as he's wanting to tell the world, oh, look at me, I've got 4 or 5 slips, and I'm wanting my bowlers to get the outside edge and take a chance. That's all fine. But at the end of the day, if it's nipping about a bit, the ball's only going to go to first, second, possibly third at a push. The rest of the guys are not in the game. So put them in sort of not defensive fields, but put them in places where you create pressure. I thought the other day when Pant was going, the release of pressure was too easy for Pant and Jadeja. And then by the end of the day, they were giving England the run around.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've got it bang on. I just feel with England, and I've said this before, but you know, I used to play a lot of poker, and when you're a chip leader, one of the things you do is you basically bully the rest of the table. You bet big, you bet regularly, and you basically knock out as many people as you can, because of course, if you've got a small stack, you can't risk. You just can't make the risks. Okay, so I understand what Stokes and McCullum and England are doing, but at the end of the day, there's two things. Firstly, they're not chip leaders because they don't have the Australian team from the start of the century or the West Indian side from the 1980s. So they're kind of bluffing. And the other thing is, if you show your hand, like England are doing, the opposition know exactly what you're going to do. And the element of surprise is lost, and essentially, people get wise to what you're up for. So you need to be able to win ugly. You need to be able to win in all the different ways that you can win a Test match. So as attractive as it's been, and as entertaining as it's been, and I've been on TalkSport for the last month, waxing lyrical about how great this entertainment is, there's still part of me that just wonders, like Thakur, for instance, right? When you consider England were bowled out in 61 overs. So you've got to say they've missed out on 19 overs where you'd feel the bat would be dominating the ball. You know, surely you just think to yourself, hang on, we've got 10 overs of Thakur here. He shouldn't be getting us out. No disrespect to there is disrespect to the bowler, but he's not Jasprit Bumrah bowling with a new ball. And he's not Mohammed Shami. You've got to capitalise on those periods of the game. And to throw it away and essentially miss out on that good stuff, England will probably lose.
And I think that's...
It's not just down to that moment, of course. They were 83. No. They were 83 for 5, although one of those wickets was Jack Leach. So, you know, it is just how it is. But it will be interesting to see if he continues. We remember Kevin Peterson. That's just how I play. It wasn't the decision-making behind the shot. It was the poor execution. This is a whole team that's going to be doing that. It's going to be, Andy Jacobs' rants on a Monday are going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, and I think that's what I mean by, Ben Stokes' first four games as captain, it's his first month of Brendan McCullum. We've gone from winning one game in 17 to exciting the country. And this is what I mean, that these are little things that we need to pick up on.
Yeah.
And I hope that Paul Collingwood, John Lewis, Marcus Truscothick, along with Brendan and then Ben, sit down and go, do you know what? Let's watch what we've done over the course of the last 4.5, 5 weeks. We played against a side who were the World Test champions, but we've got to look at they weren't in peak fitness. The power they were. They had a couple of bowlers went down, didn't have a spinner. We look at the Indian game, whichever way it goes, if England win or England lose, whichever way it goes, and we just try and get better. And I think as long as we are trying to get better, and I've got no doubt that this will happen, then I think we're going in the right direction. We are going in the right direction. You know, this is a bit of a doom and gloom podcast because I think we can see things that a little bit of naivety of trying the message to be positive. And there's a difference between positive and recklessness. And I think there has been times over the course of 3.5, 4 weeks, there's been a bit of recklessness. And I think what England have got to do is just iron that out. Iron that out. Ben making decisions on the field with fielding positions, when to go, when to sit in. It's the same with the batting, when to go, when to sit in. And I think we've just got to get better at that. And I think if we do get better at that, this side's going massively in the right direction. We are a completely different side, performance-wise, to what we were for the last 17 test matches before we came into this summer. We were a shell for that time. Now, you know, we're hitting the ball better. You know, we've got players who are making big scores. We've got bowlers who are attacking more, and you know, we are executing our skill sets a lot better than we have been for the sort of last 2 years. We've just got to just rein it in a little bit and be a little bit more calculated, and I think we'll be a hell of a lot stronger as a unit against South Africa.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
Okay then, homie, what is going to happen tomorrow?
I can't see anything other than an Indian victory. I said that right at the very start of the game because I think England had to push for the victory. Ben Stokes made the right call at the toss, and he was justified at 98 for five. He was. I think a little bit of naivety with whether captaincy field positions are, and didn't bowl India out for 225, 250, which possibly could have, if they're getting rid of Pant. But India are a fine side and a phenomenal side. They bowled brilliantly, took their chances. I think India will get 425, 450. I don't think India will just bat, bat and bat and completely take England out of the game, because I still think the World Test Championship points mean a lot to India when it comes to in the grand scheme of things, especially when India have got South Africa around the corner. Second versus third, India want to be in the World Test Championship. So I think India will try and win this game. I just think the minute that gets 300, 325 and beyond, then England are out of it. You can say what you want about going chasing a game, but Jadeja then comes into play because he's a proper spinner. And I think this bowling attack of India's is a fine bowling attack. And England probably will come unstuck. If it doesn't happen late tomorrow night, I think it will happen. I think it will happen very, very early Tuesday morning.
Okay, homie. I think you're right for what it's worth. And you did say on day one, if India get 400, then they're going to win this test match. They did get 400. And it does look likely they're going to win this test match. And you know what? If they do, fair play, because I've absolutely enjoyed seeing some quality on both sides going up against each other. And a sin against Kohli. We'll never see that again, probably. So that was great. Rishabh Pant, absolutely phenomenal. Pujara back in the side today. Bairstow with his 11th test century. It's been phenomenal. So hopefully we get a good day and a half of it to come. And we'll be reflecting on that here on the Following On podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.